Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
One of the great secrets to living the successful Christian life is that you not strive at it alone. God intends for you to strive together with Him and with your church family and other Christian friends. Next on Daily in the Word, stay tuned for a brand new series, Striving Together. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. This past summer, we celebrated our 25th anniversary of ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church, and in commemoration of that event, Dr. Chapel preached a sermon series entitled Striving Together. In that series, he challenged us once again to continue living the successful and fruitful Christian life by striving together with the Lord and with each other. And we hope that this series will be a great encouragement and blessing to your heart as you discover once again that striving together is what the Christian life is all about. Before we hear today's message, I do want to remind you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. That's one of our ways of striving together with you and trying to encourage your spiritual growth. You'll find lots of resources and information about this ministry as well. All of it at dailyintheword.org. Today's message is Striving Together in Friendship. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4.
That many times, because of the technology, we're not verbally expressing what we should, not expressing our love, not expressing our loyalty like we should. I'm not preaching against technology, but there's a time to turn it off and to look at someone you love and tell them, is there anything you need, sweetheart? Kids, you want to go play ball? Son, anything you need to talk about today? Why don't we go to McDonald's and get a Coke, just you and me? No cell phone, no BlackBerry, no iPhone, no iPad. Just you and me and the Lord. Let's go to the park and spend some time together. Somehow we find significance. We get a little ego boost having the latest device, being needed by the latest and greatest. But somewhere along the line, if we're not careful, we're going to forget to express to the people that matter most what's in the depths of our heart. Now, there's three kinds of loyalty in this matter of friendship. And I want you to see this quickly. First of all, you're going to find that there are those who are disloyal. Have you ever had someone you thought you were their friend and suddenly you realize they weren't? Disloyal friends have the presence of a negative. The presence of a negative. They say mean things. They're negative about you. The second kind of loyalty is awe loyalty. Someone will say, I'll tell you what, I like that John Smith. He's a good guy. And the guy next to him just stands there kind of quietly. That's what you call awe loyalty. But the third kind is loyalty. Loyal friends will have the presence of a positive. The presence of a positive. Jonathan was a loyal friend. Jonathan gave the presence of a positive. Look in your notes at 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 2. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself unto the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto his father. How many of you can sense the loyalty of Jonathan? He's lifting him up, David. He's speaking of David in a very wonderful way. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And so we see a friend that is truly a sharpening friend. They are fervent in their faith of God. They are fervent in their loyalty for you. And thirdly, they're fervent in the truth. They're going to speak the truth in love. They will make truthful commitments with you. In the Bible, 1 Samuel 20 and verse 42, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. He said, David, I want to make a commitment that I'm going to stand with you. And David made the same commitment, and they were for one another, and they stood by one another. By the way, they also gave the truth in counsel. Whenever it was time to speak to one another about a difficult situation, they told the truth. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Would you say that with me, please? Faithful are the wounds. Henry Ford said, my best friend is the one who brings the best out in me. Now listen, you may have a friend that says to you, hey, I saw you the other day and you were so mad. And Joe, I haven't heard you say a bad word like that. And I haven't heard you say a cuss word in 10 years. Joe, I just want to encourage you. Boy, just pray about these things. And is there anything I can do for you? And if you have a friend that cares enough to say that to you, that's a true friend. You know the guy that's laughing at your curse words and he's laughing at you when you talk down your wife and he's laughing at you when you're half drunk and drinking? Did you know that's no friend at all? But the guy that says, hey, I sure missed you at church. The one that invited you here today. The one who didn't care so much about what you think of them as much as they care for your soul. That is a true friend.
Right.
That is a true friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, everybody needs a friend who sharpens them. I hope you'll determine today to be a sharpening friend, not a dulling friend, but a sharpening friend. Let's hurry along and notice a second friend. I want to speak to those that are married this morning, like I did last week. If you'll allow me, if you're a single adult, give me a moment. But we need a spouse who supports us. You know, this past Friday night at the couples retreat, Pastor McCoy was preaching about the subject of being a friend to your spouse. You know, that's really where it begins. Before the engagement ring, before the engagement, before the wedding bells, we just start off as friends. And sometimes we need to get back to that place of being a spouse who supports. A few years ago, I heard about a football coach that was having just a terrible season. And he was winning at first, but then started losing one game after another. And the reporters were on him. It got so bad it even affected his wife. His wife began to complain. His wife began to tell him how to run the team. That didn't affect their marriage real well. And the coach even one day to the reporter said, you know, my dog during that time was my only friend. I told my wife a man needs at least two friends, and so she bought me another dog. Now, let me help you with something here. God designed marriage and the home to be a place where we support one another, not where we tear one another apart. Let me just speak to you for a moment about being a spouse that supports. First of all, a spouse that supports is one that is surrendered to the Lord. Surrendered to the Lord. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, surrendered to the Holy Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and so forth, that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is very simple, but let me help you with something that's been a help to me. When my relationship with God vertically is right, when I am following Him, when I am yielded to Him, then I can be right horizontally with my family. And when you are right with God, then you will be right with others around you. When you are filled with His Spirit, not with your flesh, not with yourself, but with Him, then you can support your spouse. Oh, so many today are angry when they should be loving, but only Jesus can make that difference. Only obedience to His Spirit can make that difference. We must be surrendered to Him. Secondly, if we'll be a supportive spouse, we must be submissive in our spirit. submissive in our spirit. Now, the word submissive doesn't get a lot of accolades in today's society. A lot of women especially will hear that word, and boy, they'll put their seatbelt on. A lot of men, their favorite verse for family devotions is, children, obey your parents. Wives, submit to your husband. But let me just give you a scriptural look at the word submission. First, we are to be submitted to the Lord and then to one another. Now notice this in Ephesians 5:21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's say that together. Submitting yourselves one in the fear of God. Fellas, you don't need to win every argument. You don't need to win every battle. The fact is, there are times and many times when we need to give and when we need to be the one saying, if you'd like to do that, sweetheart, that'd be fine. If you'd like to stop by here and have some of this, that'd be fine. For example, my wife likes yogurt. I don't really like yogurt much. I like banana splits with hot fudge and nuts and lots of bananas and preferably a couple extra cups of hot fudge. But for some reason, she likes yogurt. And when she expresses that to me, it's not the time to say, look here, woman, I'm the head of the house. We're having banana splits. It might be a time for me to submit to her and just to try to find a way, submitting ourselves one to another, fear of God. And then the Bible does say that a wife is to submit to her husband. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, the husband is the head of the wife. That doesn't mean he tramples on the wife. It doesn't mean the wife is less spiritually or intellectually. There are certain topics that my wife far excels over my abilities intellectually. There are days when I feel she's a much better Christian than I am. It does not mean the wife is less. It simply means that God is a God of order and that God has established a direction giver in the home. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You say, my husband's not even saved. The Bible says that if you'll support and love him, that your love and testimony could even bring him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Encouraging and submitting to your husband. Mark Twain was once lecturing up in Utah, and he had a Mormon friend, and they often argued about different topics, and they were talking one day about polygamy, and Twain was taking a side against polygamy, and the Mormon, of course, was advocating polygamy, and the Mormon friend finally said, can you find me one single passage in the Bible that speaks against polygamy? Mark Twain said, yes, I can. No man shall serve two masters. I know some families that are like that. I know some families that seem to struggle in the area of finding God's order. But the family is to be a place where we support one another, submitting ourselves to the Lord, following the leadership in the home. And then let me say that a supportive home is a home that is sacrificial in love. Sacrificial in love. Husbands, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A husband is to sacrificially love his wife by giving and meeting the needs, even as Jonathan expressed his love to David. A husband is to express his love to his wife. And Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for the church. And he tells us that we are to give our lives and to express our love to our wives. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Many times today we see conditional love. Many times today we see the kind of love that will go for a while. One man said, God, why did you make women so soft and beautiful? God said, so you'd love them. Well, God, why did you make women so illogical and emotional? God said, so they'd love you. It grieves me when I hear Christian husbands criticize their wives. Because I sometimes think this way. Jesus could have criticized me. I am so far from perfect. Jesus could have said, I'm not going to die on the cross for him. Jesus could have said, why, look at the sin in his life. But Jesus didn't say that. In love, he came, and in love, he died for me. And God says, husbands, you love your wife like Jesus loves you. What a convicting truth. So many times, husbands, we get going on our way and planning our way and not loving our wife in the Bible way. Well, if you want to be a biblical spouse, then you'll support your spouse according to the Word of God. A friend is a friend who sharpens. Everyone needs that. A spouse who supports the Bible way. And I've saved the best for last. I want to speak to you about one more kind of friend before we're done. I want to speak to you this morning about a Savior who supports. A Savior who supports and who supplies our every need. John 15, 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, would you read that verse with me? John 15, 13. Ready, begin. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and for me. I'm so thankful to tell you about a friend who supplied for my need spiritually. Because I am a sinner, and all of us are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God this morning, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I want you to think about Jesus as we close this morning. First of all, think about the fact that he identified with us. That Jesus Christ came down to us, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. John 1:14, and we beheld his glory, the Bible says, full of grace and truth, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What a miracle that Jesus Christ would be conceived in the Virgin Mary of the Holy Ghost, and that he would be born, and that he would live on this planet to identify with us, that he came down to us. Do you understand this morning? That's what Christmas is all about, that God came down to us. We call it the incarnation. He took on flesh, incarnate one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came down to us. I'm so glad that he did that. I'm glad that he was the kind of friend who came to identify with me. But notice, secondly, not only did he come down to us, I want you to know that Jesus is a friend who feels with us. He feels what you feel today. Notice in the Bible, in Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now look at that verse there in verse 15. It says he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The word feeling there is an interesting word in the Greek language. It's the word sympatheo, and it is the word from which we derive sympathy. And it means that he is affected with our need and that he sympathizes with our need. Now, don't miss this. Jesus Christ came down into this world to identify with us and to feel with us. And when you're going through a difficult time, he knows how you feel. When you're having trouble in this world, he understands your need. I thank God this morning that when I've had difficulties in my life and when my heart was ready to break and it seemed like no friend called and no one cared for my soul, that during many of those dark hours, there was one who knew exactly how I felt, and his name is Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. It's summarized in the very shortest verse of the Bible, John 11:35, which simply says, Jesus wept. Jesus knows how you feel today. He identified with us, but it's even better than that. Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and sacrificed for us. Notice 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, how do I know the love of God? because his only begotten son went to the cross and laid his life down for me. Do you understand? It was not the kiss of Judas Iscariot that took Jesus to the cross. It was not the threat of the spear or the sword of the Roman soldiers that took Jesus to the cross. I'm saying to you this morning, it was love that took Jesus to the cross. He did not go there because he had to go there. He went there because he loves you. He went there because he's your friend. I'm glad today that I do not pray to a stone god or to the spirit gods or to some other type of a building or religion, but that I have a personal Savior named Jesus Christ who loved me and died for me. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He made the payment for your sin. He provided a way to cover your sin. Notice in Romans 5 and verse 11 what it says. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That word atonement means the covering. Listen carefully. Have you received the covering for your sins? Have you today had a time in your life when you settled this matter that your sins were covered? And how are they covered, Pastor Chapel? They are covered by the blood that was shed for our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for our sin. If you're here today wondering about friendship, the best news that I can give to you is that there is a friend that laid down his life for you, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he shed his blood so that your sins could be covered. I can't cover your sin. The baptistry water can't cover your sin. My friend, going in and confessing your sin to a priest is not going to cover your sin. There is one way to have your sin covered. That's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever put your faith in Christ to save you from your sin? I didn't ask you if you've joined a church, been catechized, confirmed, baptized. I'm not asking if you're a Baptist, Presbyterian, or Catholic. I'm asking you today, have you had a time in your life when you turned to Jesus Christ alone and asked him to cover your sin? You see, friends, God knows and shows us in his word, listen carefully, that more than our accomplishments in this life, the most important factor is our relationships in this life. I used to enjoy reading books by Jack Welch, the former CEO of GE, and other such men who write about organizational practices. Then I began to realize so many of those men ruined 2, 3, 4 marriages on the way up the corporate ladder. So many of those men who got to the top, they looked around and their kids didn't want to speak to them. Oh, they were experts on a BlackBerry. They were great at multitasking. Why, they were tremendous in their accomplishments, but failures in their relationships. Why don't you today decide to be a friend who sharpens? Why don't you decide you're going to be a spouse that supports? Stop running all around trying to support your ego need and humble yourself before an almighty God today. Why don't you decide today that if you're not sure Jesus is in your heart, to come to him and say, Lord, I can't cover my sin, but more than trying to do it myself, I seek your grace today. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior today.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. And I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and that Jesus Christ is in your life, I want to encourage you to visit us online or to call us toll-free and let us talk with you about that. We would be happy to help you understand more clearly what it means to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Not only can you find out more information about salvation, but there's a lot of resources on our website that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, links to recent broadcasts that perhaps you missed, also a way to subscribe to the podcast of Daily in the Word so you can take this program with you on your iPod or on your computer to listen to at your convenience. This and many, many more resources are available at dailyintheword.org. I want to encourage you to be sure to check out the link about new publications resources. You'll see the photo there on the homepage. There's a link to Dr. Chapel's new book. Mrs. Chapel has written a new book entitled The Choice is Yours, and many other resources that we know will encourage you in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this again at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you. Toll free 1-800-201-7748, or write to us. Send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.